It is May 4th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Someone created a Twitter account that has my name and title on it, but a slightly different Twitter handle rather than my name, at johnlothian.com. It uses at John L-O-T-H-A-I-N as the handle. This imposter has been approaching some of the people who follow me on Twitter or whom I'm connected to on LinkedIn to try to spark up a conversation. Please ignore them, report them, and let me know. I am sorry that Twitter owner Elon Musk is such a putz and that this kind of thing is happening now that he has gutted the company of 80% of its employees. There was a flurry of activity out of the SEC yesterday with 10 different statements from the SEC commissioners, including Gary Gensler. Gensler opined with a statement on Form PF and a statement on share repurchase disclosure modernization. And in case you missed it, Gensler on May 2nd gave a speech titled "The 90s, Rom-Coms, the Spice Girls, and MFA, Remarks Before the Managed Funds Association." Commissioner Hester M. Pierce chimed in with, "The changing nature of Form PF, statement on amendments to Form PF, and no repurchase left behind, dissenting statement on share repurchase modernization rule." Not to be left out, Commissioner Carolyn A. Crenshaw contributed a statement on amendments to Form PF and statement on share repurchase adoption. Commissioner Mark T. Iuda took the prize for the longest statement titled with a statement on final amendments to Form PF to require event reporting for large hedge fund advisors and private equity fund advisors and to amend reporting requirements for large private equity fund advisors, and followed that with the rather modest length headline of statement on the final rule share repurchase disclosure modernization. And last but not least, Commissioner Jaime Lizarga offered up enhancing financial stability and fulfilling our investor protection mandate and modernizing share repurchase disclosures. TMX reported record revenue of over $299.1 million, a 4% increase from the first quarter of last year, driven by double-digit growth in revenue from Global Solutions, Insights, and Analytics, including TMX Datalinx and Trayport, and Montreal Exchange Derivatives Trading and Clearing, excluding Box, it said on LinkedIn. The full report of its first quarter 2023 results are available with the link in today's newsletter. Our friends at Nodal Exchange reported on LinkedIn that environmental markets on Nodal set monthly volume and open interest records in April. Volume across the suite of products totaled 43,883 contracts, topping the prior all-time monthly volume record of 35,787 contracts set in May of 2022. Nodal also posted a new open interest record of 255,418 lots, up 33% from 192,707 a year earlier. Highlights included New Jersey Class 2 RECs posting daily and monthly volume records of 4,840 lots and 10,990 lots respectively, and open interest of 28,870 contracts, equal to 2.88 million megawatts of renewable energy. There are questions about whether the drone attack on the Kremlin yesterday was a false flag attack. The first reports of the attack were not from street sources, but rather from the Kremlin 12 hours after the attack was said to have taken place. That seems like a big red false flag to me. The Guardian and CNBC reported on the false flag story. We have something new to worry about. Astronomers have caught a star swallowing a planet. An aging star 15,000 light years away swallowed a planet the size of Jupiter, which is no small feat, the science journal Nature reported, the Wall Street Journal said in a story. And if we don't get swallowed by a star, then we have El Nino and rising temperatures to worry about, NPR reports. If you're looking for volatility to trade, and who isn't, then you might want to read this story from Bloomberg titled, "London May Be a Great Place to Cash In on Market Volatility." The subheadline is, BlackRock's Alex Brazier tells In the City that there's a new investment playbook and money to be made by those who know the new rules. On World Press Freedom Day 2023, a judge dismissed an attempt to intimidate a newspaper for its reporting of a story. This particular case involved Donald Trump suing the New York Times. The judge dismissed the case as being without merit and fully protected by the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution and made the former president pay the Times' legal expenses, the New York Times reported. Trump sued the New York Times and three of its reporters and his niece over an investigation into his tax returns. Markets Media Group's 11th annual U.S. Markets Choice Awards event was held Wednesday, May 3rd at New York City's Tavern on the Green. Among the winners in a variety of categories were Bank of America, BNP Paribas, Instinet, LiquidNet, DTCC, Institutional Trade Processing, and Rob Flatley of TS Imagine as CEO of the Year. Here are more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. Here's a story from CoinDesk. U.S. SEC changes its mind on officially labeling digital assets. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, took one small step backwards in regulating the crypto sector on Wednesday when it erased what would have been its first formal definition of digital asset from its latest hedge fund rule. When the SEC had formally initially included the definition in its 2022 proposal to overhaul mandatory disclosures for hedge funds, the securities regulator yanked it in the final rule approved by the commissioners. The agency included a footnote to explain itself. The commission and staff are continuing to consider this term and are not adopting digital asset as part of this rule at this time, the note declared. My comment. Sometimes great minds think differently. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, oil's dramatic open leaves traders puzzled after WTI crashes. Traders cutting long positions, algo selling touted as reasons. U.S. crude briefly sinks by more than 7% in first minutes of trade. After a wave of selling over the last week, it was little surprise when U.S. crude futures opened lower on Thursday, but few traders were braced for the 7.2% plunge that unfolded in the first dramatic minutes of trading. West Texas Intermediate plummeted by almost $5 a barrel for the first few seconds shortly after the open in Asia at 6 a.m. in Singapore, then recovered. When trading kicked off a couple of hours later in global benchmark Brent, it failed to respond in kind, merely shedding a little more than a dollar a barrel. My comment. In the old days, this would have been a fast market, and the fills would have taken until midday to get back. Here's a story from Jeff Carter and his Points and Figure blog. The headline, A Ship Out to Sea, a homily about the trading floor. The trading floor wasn't actually a physical ocean-going vessel, but the journeys and experiences were the same. It has its own rough seas and sometimes smooth sailing. When you deviated from your true north, the water certainly got choppy. Like the ocean, the floor could seem placid at times, but was full of distraction and danger. Like the ocean, it was also full of great joy. Amazing things could happen at any moment. My comment. I'm not sure what got into Jeff Carter, but I think after writing this homage to the trading floor, he has worked it all out. Here's another story, this one from The Guardian. The headline, London Stock Exchange chief calls for UK firms to pay bosses more. The chief executive of the London Stock Exchange has called for the bosses of UK companies to be paid more in order to match their counterparts in the US. Julia Hoggett argued that British companies were finding it difficult to attract and retain executives because they offered smaller pay packages than rivals in the US. My comment. How about paying the workers more, which will make the company perform better, which will make the CEO job more lucrative? Or you could just pay the CEO more and forget about the workers. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our most read story Wednesday was half of America's banks are potentially insolvent. This is how a credit crunch begins from the Telegraph. Second was a tie between CME Group Inc.'s CEO compensation is looking a bit stretched at the moment from Simply Wall Street and Bevant Joseph's LinkedIn post about his son being involved in a carjacking in Chicago. Third was how WTI became the most important commodity contract on the planet from Institutional Investor. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from the New York Times. The headline, Even as China reopens, security visits spook foreign businesses. Fears are growing that the Communist Party's increasing focus on control over information about the markets and companies is behind the questioning of firms. With China's pandemic restrictions dismantled and its leaders wooing executives flying into the country again, this was supposed to be a springtime of renewed investor confidence in the world's second biggest economy. The next story is from the World Federation of Exchanges. The World Federation of Exchanges to create new educational certification for market infrastructure. The World Federation of Exchanges, the WFE, the global body for exchanges and CCPs, today announced the creation of a new market infrastructure certificate program, the first of its kind, which is aimed at educating the next generation of financial service leaders globally. And then finally, the last story is from Bloomberg. The headline, FDIC's McKernan says failed bank auctions aren't competitive. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corp failed to create a level playing field for non-bank bidders pursuing First Republic Bank, according to FDIC board member Jonathan McKernan. Since the SVB auction, I've pushed for changes to build more competitive tension in our failed bank auctions so we get the best price, McKernan said in an interview, referring to the seizure and sale of Silicon Valley Bank to First Citizens BancShares in March. But the FDIC ran essentially the same process again for First Republic. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothia newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothianews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.